Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules.
First of all, Happy New Year's to everyone. It's so wonderful to start the year off right. And to do that, like I said, we have John Assaroff with us. And for those of you who do know him, I know there's a lot of listeners out there who have seen The Secret. John's going to share some really, really valuable information tonight. So I'm so tickled that he's the first one of the year 2009. How's that for starting the year off right? And on top of that, the Law of Attraction Radio Network has launched. And my goodness, the response has been beyond belief. I couldn't believe it. I was so tickled to see it. Yesterday, actress and spiritual healer Dee Wallace premiered with her show, Consciously Creating Your Life, and it was terrific. It's now on the archive, so it's going to stay on there for a long, long time, and she'll be back in a couple weeks to have another great show. Next week, we're going to start off with 6 Degrees with Anthony, who is a wonderful host, and then we have Snap Out of It Woman with Dee Mercer Moffitt, Leading Edge Parenting with Sandy Swartz, and she's going to help you understand how to get your kids to become more aware of being conscious creators, and I love that. And then we have Dr. Harry Morgan Moses with us interviewing spiritual leader Mary Manon Morrissey on Saturday. Oh my gosh, I'm having so much fun. This is just terrific. And again, and I have a feeling that John is going to agree with us, unplug your mind from the mainstream news media. Don't let that fear creep in on you to serve as a distraction from creating your future. Plug in your mind to Law of Attraction Radio Network, where you know you're going to get all the shows that's going to help you to be that magnificent creator that you are. So tune in at www.lawofattractradio.com. That's lawofattracttalkradio.com. One more announcement that I want to make before we bring in John. I want to talk about next week's show. I'm really excited about it because it is the perfect complement to tonight's show. We will be talking with Veronica De Andreas from Buenos Aires, Argentina. Now, you may not have heard of her, but I promise you, she is the new Rhonda Burns with her new movie called Full Confidence. It's incredible. I have not been so excited about a movie since The Secret, and this is absolutely fantastic and needs to be in every home around the world, and we're going to help get it there. So tune in because it's something you're not going to want to miss. Yep, 2009 has started off strong, so stay with us for an incredible year. And now let's talk to this amazing guy who we know is Mr. John Assaroff, one of the teachers of the Law of Attraction in the movie The Secret. John is an international best-selling author. He's written so many books, can't even believe it. Speaker and entrepreneur, as a teenager plagued with low self-esteem, John risked the potentially fatal consequences of a turbulent lifestyle in his quest to overcome his challenges and fulfill his desire to live a purposeful and meaningful life. He discovered a unique passion for brain research and quantum physics as it related to achieving success in business and in life. In the last 20 years, he's built 4 multi-million dollar companies, including Remax of Indiana, who collectively generated over $5 billion. That's a billion with a B, a year in sales. John has landed on Larry King Live, the Ellen DeGeneres Show, ABC, CBS, NS, NBC, CNN, and, of course, Oprah, and sharing a wealth of knowledge about the law of attraction. So I am so honored and pleased to have John with me. Welcome, John, to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thanks so much. It's great to be on.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you. Now, John, many people know of you, but they think that you're something special, that you're different from more people, or perhaps you have an extra gene in your DNA that makes you successful. So what's the real scoop about you, John?
Actually true. No, I'm kidding. Oh, well, listen, I think we're all special. You know, I think, I grew up with, a mother and dad, just like everybody else. My father drove a cab. My mother worked at a local department store, struggled for money, struggled in having a great relationship. Fortunate thing for me was we had lots of love, and I was never told, no, you can't do that, as far as, achieving any goals. And so I was let free into the world of possibilities at a very young age. And although I got myself into a whole lot of trouble from the age of about 12 to 17 or so, I was fortunate that I got into the personal development arena when I was 19, as I got into real estate. And I was really introduced to the law of attraction. I was introduced to the other natural laws of the universe. I was introduced to a world of thinking and possibilities that really opened my mind to helping me understand how to overcome my self-esteem issues, how to overcome my thinking that I wasn't smart enough and good enough, to really understanding that we're all capable of achieving a lot more than we give ourselves credit for. And so that really was, my saving grace 26 years ago or so. And so, when I say we're special, we're all special, and I think we forget about it. And I think it takes each one of us to remind us that there are so many wonderful things to be grateful for and so many wonderful things for us to learn and apply.
So we can all learn how to be successful. It's just not in us inherently.
Absolutely. I think most of us have to learn, that we have within us the ability to grow, to develop, to mature, and to apply certain strategies and tactics that are irrefutably secure in their ability to achieve success. And it's not reserved for the smartest people in the world. It's reserved for the people who take the right information in the right order and apply it. That's what success really is all about.
Wonderful. That's good to know. Okay, so we're all geared up. Now, I love the movie The Secret, but it didn't really get into talking about the teachers on a personal level. So I wanted to go back and kind of talk about your wild youth and what was the thing that made you want to shift your consciousness into changing your life.
Well, the kids that I was hanging around with were really adept at shoplifting and doing little petty crimes that I think got us into more trouble than we really wanted to get into. And had I continued on that path, I knew that it would have been a life that I didn't want to live, that my parents would have been proud of. I wouldn't have been proud of it. And yet at the time, I thought that I was doing what I could or what I knew to make some money and to live an exciting life. And, I knew it was wrong. However, I did it. And again, that's 30 some odd years ago. And so, I realized that there was another way. And the way I realized that was somebody else showed it to me. And somebody else, in my life who had struggled as a young man, had successfully built a monstrous real estate company in Toronto, Canada, and showed me that if I was prepared to learn, and if I was prepared to become more, and if I was prepared to apply myself, I could really live a different life than I was living, that there was a life of abundance and love and care and all the things that I dreamt about and wanted in a way that was respectable, in a way that was very, very doable, even for me, when I thought that, I wasn't very smart or that I couldn't do it. But this individual said to me, there's a power in setting goals. And it's funny because as I'm sitting here talking with you right now, I'm in my home office. And just this morning, I was looking at, my health, physical, spiritual, emotional, personal finances, business, relationships, miscellaneous notes and my values, which are actually spread across my wall right now as I speak with you in my room where my vision boards are. And to this day, I invest time in applying the very same principles that I learned back when I was 19 years old. And those are the fundamental laws of setting goals in writing and being very clear about what you want. And that was really the beginning of my learning about how to invoke the brilliance of my brain, how to invoke the power of the universe. And that was really the beginning of what we'll maybe talk about today.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into it. Because you have three laws that you usually use, isn't it? The law of attraction, the law of gestation, and the law of action. Is that how you set your goals?
Well, the law of attraction is really all about the vibration that you're in, and everybody knows that that's listening. The law of gestation is the time that it takes for any seed, any idea to germinate. And then there's the law of action, or otherwise known as the law of Goya, which is G-O-Y-A, and that's the get off your, and you can fill in the blank. but what we have to add to that is it's not just taking action. I see a lot of people taking action. They're busy doing things. But when we analyze what they're doing, they're not doing the things that have the highest impact on the results that they want, or positive impact on the results that they want. So they're doing a lot of busy work, or what we call the trivial many versus the critical few. And it's really important to understand that we all have the same amount of time. But it's what we do in that time that differentiates the mega successful people from the people who do just okay or not okay. And so it's not enough to act. It's not enough to be busy. It's really about doing the right things in the right order and the highest impact or highest income producing activities.
Again, how do we apply that? Can you walk us through? So you just put everything in there with that intention.
Well, no, I don't just put it out there with the intention. That's the misnomer. You know, if you sit there and just set out the intention, they're going to take away your furniture. And
yeah.
So the intention's great, and the passion is great, and the mental visualization's all great. But you've got to take action. You know, you were talking about Rhonda Byrne earlier, you know, with The Secret.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody just knew all of the massive action that was taken to launch The Secret, to get a hold of the speakers, to film it, to edit it, to put the PR in place, the marketing in place. It was massive amounts of the right action with the right people and the right strategies. And so it's critical to understand that you can have all the vision boards in the world. You can write your goals down until you're blue in the face. It makes no difference unless you take action. You move into action towards the goals in the right way.
Towards the goal, but if our thoughts are energy,
mm-hmm.
and it has the vibrations, isn't there really a magical side to it that maybe science can't yet explain? Because even if we look at the movie and you were talking about your vision board and then you discovered it's exactly the house that you had wanted, that you received.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I busted my butt. I busted my butt to build companies. See, if we think about, was that a coincidence?
Yeah,
you know, coincidence means when two angles coincide. That comes from mathematics. And so while my intentions and the clarity and everything in the universe was aligning, I was also doing the things in order to be able to afford a home like this.
Right.
Right, and so it wasn't just about putting the home on my wall, which I'm actually looking at the picture of the house that I cut out in 1995 right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my achieved board. But as I cut out the pictures of the art and the charities and the cars and the stuff that I wanted to acquire in a materialistic sense and an emotional sense, I also had to come up with the plans to be able to afford, to be able to take advantage of the opportunity when it arose.
Right.
See, I learned many, many years ago, number one, decide the lifestyle that you want to live, and then figure out what you have to become, what you have to learn, and what you have to do to be able to earn to live that lifestyle. Versus what most people do, they look at what they're earning and say, because I'm earning this, this is the lifestyle I can afford to live. And so I learned very, very, at a very young age, to reverse engineer everything that I wanted. Now, at the time, we didn't understand quantum physics as we understand it today. We didn't understand neuroscience as we understand it today. We didn't understand the correlation between thoughts and how they affect this field of energy and the response from that field. But even if that field responds to you and presents to you the opportunity to acquire the car of your dreams, the relationship of your dreams, the home of your dreams, but you're not prepared, guess what happens? That opportunity sails right by.
So you've got to be able to take the action when the opportunities come to you.
Absolutely. Most people are not prepared, and you have to be prepared. Most people, even if they are applying the law of attraction properly, an opportunity knocks on their door. They think somebody's disturbing them.
Or they don't take advantage of it because they're fearful that they're not going to be able to fulfill it.
That's right. And they're afraid. You know, they don't believe that it's true. They think it'll be taken away. They self-sabotage it.
How did you grab your mind around getting to the first part? Like you had, at age 19, you got your license for real estate. How did you progress to the next step? How did you keep from fear coming in and sabotaging you?
Well, first, yeah, I had to understand what fear was, where fear came from. You know, knowledge is the key to the kingdom, and application of the knowledge is absolutely the key beyond that. And so on one set, you know, of possibilities, we have ignorance, which is just not knowing. And so if somebody says, you know, I feel this feeling called fear, what is it? Where is it coming from? Well, if we do any research into neuroscience or how the brain works, anytime we think about and emotionalize getting out of our own comfort zone, and our own comfort zone is anything that we're used to right now, our brain will actually release a chemical into the bloodstream called fear. We will feel that chemical traveling through the bloodstream, feeling that vibration. We will think about what we feel. We feel what we think about. We create a self-fulfilling doom loop that causes us to revert back into safety if we don't know what's causing it. But if we educate ourselves and we acquire the knowledge to say, you know what, anytime I step out of my comfort zone, I set a goal to make 2 or 3 times more money. I set a goal to leave the relationship I'm unhappy with and move into a much happier relationship. Anytime we do that in any area of our life, a chemical will be released into our bloodstream. That chemical is called fear. And that is just a signal that your brilliant brain sends you to let you know that potential danger may be lurking. It's not real danger, but potential danger. So when we feel fear, we're actually either thinking consciously or unconsciously about something that could potentially hurt us either right now or in the future. Now we have to ask ourselves, great, are we still prepared to move forward and take the risk? Have we taken enough precautions to mitigate the risk? And if we haven't, then we'll revert back into safety. And if we have, and we've thought it through, and we've strategized it properly, then we can move with more certainty and confidence than we've ever had before. And so that's why I say it's really important to understand that there's some new information on how the brain works. That's really been my area of study for the last 8 years, of why do we do what we do? Why don't we do the things we know we should do? Why do we achieve success and then sabotage it? Why are we afraid to really go for our goals? Why do we set goals? Everybody on this call probably is going to be starting their New Year's resolutions tomorrow. Okay. Most people didn't start them on the 1st. They started them tomorrow, or they're going to start them tomorrow. Why is that?
Yeah.
Well, we psychologically rationalize that we should do it tomorrow, me included, by the way. Okay? And guess what? Why do we set goals that we think we can achieve or that are just slightly beyond our reach, but not really big goals? Oh, we don't set really big goals because we don't have the confidence and certainty that we can achieve them. And we don't have the knowledge of how the universe works. We don't have the understanding of how the brain works. And then very few people take the time to set their plans and to really think of a strategy of how can I achieve these goals? What do I need to learn? Who do I need to bring into my team, either to hire them, barter them, partner with them, collaborate with them, to be able to make that happen? And then we see people all around us that achieve goals that are just blowing us away. They're no smarter than we are. They're no different than we are. But they're thinking differently and taking actions that are different than ours are. And so when we learn, you know, the reasons why we do or don't do what we do, now we can move into a state of proper action, proper thinking. And that's really been, you know, people ask me what's been my saving grace. My saving grace is I've always taken action. Even if it's the wrong action. I prefer to take an action that's wrong than not to take an action at all.
No matter if you're going to fail, it's still to your benefit because at least you'll learn from that failure.
Absolutely. But even it's not even just about learning from the failure. It's that you're in action. You're doing something. the person who sits at the bottom of the mountaintop and looks at the top of the mountain has no chance of getting to the top. Yet the person who starts their first two or three steps and falls back down at least has something to say to themselves, something to feel, something visceral that they can start moving towards because they're now in motion. Now, we know about the laws of motion. As an object in motion tends to stay in motion. An object at rest tends to stay at rest. So one of the keys of success is get active. Get active. And the more you can get active with the right information in the right order, the faster you're going to become successful. And that's one of my gifts has been that I don't have to figure out how to do things. I love to figure out what other people have done and then just make it better.
You mentioned fear and it being chemical. Well, that's good to know because then we have control over that chemical. We know what's happening to us, so then we can realize it, calm down, and just go, keep on going forward, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But again, before we even take action, why don't we find out what other people who have already achieved what we want to achieve have done? Let's find out at least what their blueprint was, and let's start with that. Let's use that as the baseline. So if we're talking, and this is a perfect time to be talking because there's so many people who have set New Year's resolutions or new goals for the year. And one of the things I've always said is setting New Year's resolutions is an absolute waste of time. After 2 weeks of a New Year's resolution, all you've done is lost 14 days. Other than you may have taken some action. But what we want to do, is when we're setting our goals, we also want to be retraining our brain to believe that we can achieve those goals. We want to be retraining our brain to rewire itself to a new reality. Because when the inside image and when the inside belief is stronger and more vivid than the outside reality, that's when we start to change.
Sounds wonderful. I love to retrain the brain.
Well, that's, I wrote about it in my book, The Answer, with my business partner, Murray Smith, and also talked about it in the vision board kit that just came out about 6 weeks ago or so. It's one of the most amazing things is our outside world must match our internal map of reality. And so we don't see anything more or anything less than how we are or how we have been conditioned either through genetics or through our conditioning. And the beautiful thing about what we're learning about the brain is we could train it to do and think whatever we want. That's the beauty. We are not our brains, but we have access to training our brains no differently than you have access to training your biceps, your abdomens, your quadriceps, or any other bodily part. It's just another organ. There's emotions that we have that are automatic, no differently than thoughts, and we become addicted to our emotions. And so our brain is consistently wanting to and does recreate what we are emotionally addicted to the most. And so you may be broke, but you're comfortable. And you're addicted to that emotion. You may be in a relationship that you don't like, but you're comfortable and addicted to that emotion.
Mm.
And so the key is to break the addictions.
That's why
they say we're creatures of habit.
Well, how do you go about breaking?
Now therein lies the beautiful part about brain research. Well, number one, we know that when we feel an emotion, there are neurons firing in the brain or brain cells firing in a certain sequence that they have gotten used to. And so we want to we keep repeating those patterns every single day. And so what we want to do is, number one, understand which emotions are serving us and which don't. The ones that we want to keep, the ones that are serving us, we want to fuel them by adding emotion when we're feeling them. So we want to get emotionally involved even more so that we recreate more of them more frequently or that we reinforce the neural network on a consistent basis. So when you're in a happy state, remember it, feel it, get excited. Think about this for a moment. Can you right now, and this goes for anybody who's listening, think of a time in your life when you were really, really, really happy or excited. Something happened that just puts a smile on your face,
yeah.
Whether it's the marriage, whether it's the divorce, whether it's having a baby, whether it's having sex, whatever it is that would put a smile on your face. Well, the reason that's happening is when you start thinking about it, you're actually firing the same neurons which release the same neurotransmitters into the bloodstream which cause you to feel. Guess what? you can actually interrupt that pattern. Imagine a baby crying for a moment, just crying. And a baby's old enough to understand language. And you say to the baby, look over there, there's a little puppy. And the baby instantaneously stops to cry and looks over at the puppy. What's happening in that instant? What's happening is we have interrupted the firings of the neurons of that pattern and got it to switch over to think about something else, causing a different emotion and feeling. Well, guess what? When we are having automatic negative thoughts, automatic negative feelings that last for a minute or a half hour or a day, we can interrupt that pattern by either getting up and walking, by turning on the TV, by going and playing a sport, by picking up a musical instrument, by picking up a book, by picking up the phone and calling somebody. Doing that consciously. And every time that we have that emotion or that feeling again, we can interrupt that pattern. And if at the same time we interrupt that pattern, we think of the one thing that actually makes us really happy and we focus on that, now what we are doing is we're interrupting the pattern that's creating a negative emotion or negative feeling, and we are actually substituting it with a new pattern of something that we've remembered from the past. We call that a neural linking process. I'm not going to get too deep into this, but the first part is awareness of when we're feeling this, or awareness of when we're having, you know, negative times. And ask yourself, is this going to serve me or isn't it? Is this short-term or long-term? Is this repetitive or not? And we are now learning how to really take better control of our psyche, better control of our psychology, which is the one of the most important things in achieving success, is the psychology. Now, I can share with you that I know many, many, many more happy, positive people than I know negative, happy, or negative, rich people. I don't know about you, but it tends to be that the people that I know tend to be more on the positive, happy, optimistic side.
Right. Because you're in that vibration.
That's exactly right. And so when we talk about the law of attraction, is it possible that when we have alignment between what we think consciously or what we write our goals down consciously, when we have alignment at the subconscious level as well, now we have harmonious vibration that does not cause what I call a chaotic vibration. See, if you've got a positive idea, a positive goal, a positive desire, but you have a negative subconscious belief or programming or emotional attachment to whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, you create a negative or a chaotic vibration. And that is very, very, very hard for anybody to achieve a goal that they want in a chaotic vibration. So what we want to do is have alignment.
And that's really where, if someone is in victimhood of blaming others, that's where they're getting stuck, right?
With absolutely. Absolutely. As soon as we take on a victim mentality, the world and circumstances are happening to you.
Uh-huh.
As soon as they're happening to you, most people, see, there is almost nobody that anybody on this call knows of that feels a victim of wealth. Right? They all want to take responsibility for it themselves, for the most part. Right? But anything negative, it's not my fault.
That's right.
It's really not a matter of fault. It's just a matter of awareness. And if we stop playing the blame or shame or guilt game and just start playing the responsibility game. And the responsibility game is basically, I am responsible for my positive thoughts, for my negative thoughts, for my perceptions, for my interpretations. And the more I can learn to perceive, the more I can learn to interpret the world in a way that will serve me versus a way that will bring me or others down, the faster I achieve the success I want. And the beautiful thing about the way our brain works is we get to do one thing that no other animal on the planet does. No mineral, no plant, no animal can do this. And that is this. This is what separates us in the animal kingdom from every other animal. It's called choice. We have the ability to choose how we frame anything that happens to us. And if we learn to frame things in a way that will always serve us, guess what? Now we become the masters of our own destiny. And what I'm not suggesting is that things that are not to our taste will not happen to us. I've just gone through 3 weeks of some very, very interesting times. And nothing's happened to me. And so the key for all of us is to learn that, you know what, it's not about control, but it's about having a choice of how do I want to play the game? Do I want to play as a victim? Do I want to play as the captain? Do I want to play as the spectator? It's all our choice. And once we make that choice, then the game begins. And if you want to be the captain, guess what? You've got to know more than the rest of the crew.
Wow. Well, you train your mind. Are you also training your mind to be able to relate better to people, which is going to help you attain your success?
Oh, absolutely. And what I want to make sure that we differentiate is brain from mind.
Okay.
Mind is an activity of the brain.
Oh, good point.
Brain is an organ. What we want to do is train our brain to be in a positive vibration of thought, a positive vibration of perception, a positive vibration of action. And if you think about a radio station, there's the person who chooses what records to play, there's the hardware, there's the software, there's the person who chooses what records are to play. We have the ability to choose what records we play. See, we're the disc jockey in the radio station. The brain will send out the frequency. The brain will receive the frequency. The brain is the hardware, the software. But you and I are the disc jockey. So we can get to choose at any given time what music to play. And whatever music we play is the vibration we're in. And guess what? That music, whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, gets broadcast 24/7, 365 days a year for your entire life, even when you're in a coma. And so what I've learned a long, long time ago, you know, and I'm saying long time ago, which is, you know, I'm 47 now, and I started to really study the laws of the universe, started to study the neuroscience behind it about the year 2000, is that we have the ability to create magic in our life, and miracles are waiting to happen. But we have to get out of our old ways, not because we're not enough, just because we've learned more about the hardware and the software. We've learned more about the universe and its response to us. We've learned that we are connected, and that's not metaphysically. It's organically. We're absolutely, totally connected. And so if we are totally connected and we feel each other and we understand each other at a unconscious level, then let's start behaving that way. Let's start treating ourselves that way. Let's start treating each other that way. Let's start having a healthy communication with each other. Let's start having a healthy expectation of one another. Not from ego, but from pure genius, from pure God. And we talk about, you know, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. You know, spirituality is a vibration. Physicality is a vibration. So we can learn how to think from a highly spiritual being. We could think from a being that really connects to other people. We can think from a being that has the ability to create and co-create. To and through us, the universe is setting its magic. And so we really have that incredible ability. And when we start to have a healthy respect for that, and we humble ourselves that the universe is somehow using us to express its generosity and beauty to and through us, that's when the magic really starts to happen.
Beautifully put.
Thank you.
Tell me about 2009, and in the midst of the economic situation, and there are people who are feeling fear,
Yep.
So how can we go about changing our perspective so that we can start really creating a magnificent 2009?
Well, first and foremost, we have to understand that one of the natural laws of the universe is called the law of rhythm. And it's the ebb and flow law. It's the, you know, the highs and the lows flow. It's the law that governs a lot of nature. And so right now what we're experiencing is just a vastly different rhythm than we've been used to in our lifetime for certain. You know, the last time we were anywhere remotely close to this was the Great Depression of the 1929s. And most of us weren't there, you know, to experience it. Maybe our parents were, but we weren't. And so we're experiencing something really new. And so we're in the valley right now. And so when you're in the valley, it's time to reflect. It's time to really think about, you know, what did you do well when you were at the peak? What didn't you do well? What can you do now? I'm actually excited right now. I was concerned for the last several weeks. We had to, for the first time in my history, lay off employees at one of my companies. And we did that a week before Christmas. So I was very distraught. And so for the last several weeks, I've been really reflecting. I was hurt. I was sad. I was feeling emotions that are like, wow, never thought in my life I'd have to do this. I'm reflecting and thinking, okay, so how am I going to learn from this? What will I do differently in 2009? Who am I becoming in all the lessons that I'm learning? Do you really believe, John, that everything happens for a reason that serves you spiritually? And the answer consistently is yes, even though it's not to my taste. And so I'm also thinking about how do I change my strategy for 2009? I can share with you that my personal finance goals are absolutely, unequivocally, no less than they were in 2008. And one of the reasons for that is because I know that 95% of the population has lowered their expectations, which means that I don't have to because they already have for themselves, so there's more for me to be able to feed from. Right? So my physical goals won't change. My spiritual goals, actually, I want to get to know God even more this year. My emotional goals are to understand even more. But when we're talking about fear, most people's fears are around their finances and around their businesses possibly. And in that, sometimes it'll travel or trickle down into their relationships and their health goals. And so one of the things that I've committed to this year, which I did a great job, a good job last year, is my physical, emotional, and spiritual health was good. It's going to be even better this year. I've recommitted to making that a higher priority because I know that when I take care of that, everything else works a lot better. And so in evaluating my 2008, and I would highly recommend in every evaluating their 2008, evaluate first your values. What do you value the absolute most in your life? And when I talk about values, what I want to make sure everybody understands is let's talk about ends values, not means values. So, for example, money is a means to an end. So is it peace of mind that you want? Is it a better relationship with God you want? What are your ends values? Is it a great relationship with your children? Because even when you say it's a great relationship with your children, that's a means to another end. We say we want a great relationship to our children or our significant other. The question is why? When you answer the question why, that's the ends values. And so what I'm doing for myself this year is becoming even more aware of my ends values and focusing on my ends values and working on those and making those happen every day. And then I'm strategizing differently with my team about how do we, in this economic situation that we've never been in, thrive. I don't want to do okay. I don't want to do good. I want to thrive. And so when I give my brain, and when you give your brain that instruction, guess what your brain does? It searches for answers, not just between your ears, not just amongst your friends, but it serves up that question to the universe, which is listening. And since we live in a self-aware, highly intelligent, totally organic, and perfect universe, the answers over a period of whether it's a minute, an hour, a day, a month, will appear when you stay in that vibration of that question. That's what you're broadcasting into the universe, and that's what it will respond back to. And so I'm asking myself different questions. How can I, in this economy, thrive? How can I grow my business in double, triple digits, quadruple digits over the next year or two? What do we have to think? What do I have to learn? How do we have to position? What do I need to become? What does my team need to become? Who do I need to surround myself with? What do I need to read? What do I need to listen to? Who do I need to go learn from? Those are the questions that will yield us much better answers than some of the ones that we may have been asking ourselves. I don't want to survive during this recession. I want to thrive. Right? And so one of the things for me is to make sure that my physical health and mental health is in absolute peak condition, which to me means exercise, healthy eating, and meditation on a daily basis. So there are ways of thinking. This is what I learned a long, long time ago. For every outcome that we want, there is a way of thinking and behaving that'll yield that outcome. So I'm consistently asking myself, how do I need to think? How must I behave in order to get the outcome that I want? And if I don't have the answer, which in many cases I don't, I seek it out. Because there's somebody somewhere on the internet, on these calls, in my group of friends that has that answer.
I love this being a time of reflection. But could it all be that maybe we're going to find a new niche that possibly hasn't been fulfilling the needs of people?
Oh, in times of change, absolutely. We are going through one of the most interesting times of our lives.
Yeah.
I've got a neighbor of mine who is one of the top hedge fund experts in the world. And for the last 25 years has averaged 25.6% a year on over $1 billion. He just lost $700 million last year. Trust me, times are changing. Times are changing. And so he's learning things. I'm learning things. And so the key is not to get emotionally attached to the negative or the positive, and to stay as neutral as we can and become quiet, silent observers who are reflecting and learning. See, as soon as we start to react to the circumstances, the circumstances in control. So what we want to do is be aware that the circumstances that I've created in my life, that you've created in your life, and our listeners have created in their life, that's because of past thinking and past behaviors. And obviously past environmental issues, meaning, you know, the stock market, the real estate market, the mortgage industry. Sure, those had a part to play in it. But right now, for example, for people who have lost a lot of money, somebody should be thinking about getting to real estate and buying real estate. I've got a friend of mine who's buying $1 million a month right now.
Wow. Yeah.
I've got friends of mine who have been buying the stock market since it was at 7,500.
Yeah, it's a buyer's market, isn't it?
Absolutely. So in this turmoil, we could be, you know, focusing on the turmoil or focusing on how do we diversify. I had an individual, I was just interviewed a couple days ago on Channel 6 here in San Diego, and one of the anchors happens to be somebody that we actually know. And just before he went on the air, he was talking about, well, John, you know, I've been buying real estate, and, you know, because the market is bad, I stopped. I said, Greg, why in the world would you stop? This is the market where you can make the most amount of money you've ever made. And he said, because I don't have any more money. I said, but Greg, I said, you know how to buy the houses properly. You know how to renovate them. You know how to get them rented. You know how to manage them. He goes, yeah, so what? I said, do you know how many people have money right now that don't know how to do what you're doing? He says, I didn't think about that. I said, you didn't think about that because you didn't think about how do you make millions now with the knowledge that you have. You were focusing on all of the negative side of what you've been hearing. And then we went on to do the interview, and we talked about it on air. And it's a perfect real-life example of when you're focusing on what's not right, either in your life or in the market or wherever you're focusing on, you can't be focusing on the polar opposite, which we know exists. It always must exist. It can't not exist. The universe has the exact amount of electrons as it does positrons, positives and negatives. So for every negative thing in your life right now, there's the polar opposite opportunity that you cannot and will not find unless you start asking yourself, where is it? Show it to me. Let me see it. God, make me aware of it.
That is so true. That is so good to hear, too. Should we be thinking about debt, or should we not be thinking of it? Here's the question, because of what we're hearing with the law of attraction. What do we do, John?
Well, think about this. There's actually, let me share it with you in the story. There's a husband and wife. They're in bed. It's midnight, and he gets out of bed. And he starts pacing the floor, and the wife says to him, "What in the world are you doing?" And he says, "Sweetheart, I've been thinking about this for days now. The mortgage is due tomorrow, and I don't have the money." And he keeps pacing the bedroom. She gets out of bed, puts on a nightgown. She walks downstairs, makes a phone call, comes back upstairs. She goes, "Get to bed." He says to her, "What did you do?" She goes, "I called the banker. He lives about five doors down. I told him you're not making the mortgage payment tomorrow." He's up thinking about it now. "Now you get to bed." And the moral of that story is, when you are focusing on your current results, if you're focusing on the debt, how could you ever be focusing on how to make more money than the debt? How can you be focusing on creativity? How can you be focusing on providing more service? How can you be focusing on making enough money to cover the debt and more when you're focusing or worrying about the debt? Worrying is a prayer for what you don't want. And whatever we focus on and give energy to neurologically releases the chemicals into the bloodstream that emit the frequency into the quantum universe that gets us to feel what we're thinking about, and we're creating a self-fulfilling doom loop. So here's what I'm saying. Do you become aware of the debt? Yes, absolutely. Do you become aware of what caused the debt? Yes, absolutely. But you move immediately towards the solutions, not the challenge.
There you go. That is perfect. That is so beautifully said. And that answers a lot of questions. It just ties in perfectly to what everything you've been saying tonight. Just brilliant.
Well, good.
You've got a mastermind group coming up, don't you?
Yeah, I've got several. That we've got a business mastermind that we're allowing, I believe, 25 people into, and then my own personal mastermind into the John Assaraf mastermind that we're going to start the end of January as well. We've got a lot of prep work over the next few weeks that we're allowing people to get into as well. And I'm going to work with a group of 25 people over the next 6-7 months to really help make sure that they've got their finances and make sure that they're making enough money, they're being creative and using their brain's potential and using the contacts that I've accumulated and the contacts of the group. And so if somebody has a business, there's a possibility for that. If somebody doesn't have a business, there's some other possibilities. We'll be working not just on finances, but it will be, obviously, we're going to be working on money this year, because a lot of people want to make a lot more money, and I believe they can make more money this year than ever before. But we're going to be working on health and relationships and their spiritual goals and their relationship goals and their career or business goals as well. And so it's something that I absolutely love to do. It's a lot easier to do it with smaller groups. And you know, when we do events and we have, you know, 300, 400, 500 people at them, or 1,000 or 10,000, it's obviously very hard to work one-on-one with people. But working in smaller groups and working one-on-one with people, I can get the biggest bang for the buck and really help people accelerate their growth so much faster.
And so it is important, just like the people you hang out with, it is important to keep listening and doing things like your mastermind group. Keep your mind motivated and on that forward motion, right?
Absolutely. You never see eagles going to pigeon school.
Oh, I'm going to have to use that one. That is great. Okay, that is super. Well, great. And you have a whole bunch of books. I've got about 3 of your books on the host
page.
People can just click on. It will take them immediately to Amazon where they can purchase it. But do you have any other brand new books coming up or anything?
You know what? I've been thinking a lot the last several weeks. I've released 2 last year, and trust me, it takes its toll on you on writing it and getting it out there. I think I'm going to take the first quarter of the year off and really focus on One Coach, our business growth network. And then in the second half of the year, I'm gonna crank out a few of them. I've got an idea for a great series of books that came in a meditation, and it's gonna be pretty phenomenal.
Wow, Oh, I'm anxious for that. And people can go to johnassaroff.com to get more information on the mastermind groups and seminars and everything that's coming up. You've got a phenomenal site. It's so full of information. I just love it.
Thanks. I've got some really, really unbelievable brain entrainment software coming out and for affirmations to embed them at the subconscious level.
Okay.
That we just finished recording a couple of them over the Christmas and Jewish holidays, and we've just had some people testing it, and it is phenomenal. People will be hearing about it for the next 3 weeks or so.
Oh, how fantastic. Well, I'm going to be first in line for that.
You're a gem.
Well, John, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on and sharing this with us. This is all very, very important stuff, and I really can't thank you enough for everything that you are doing to help people succeed.
Thank you so very much, and I wish you the most incredible new year filled with health, happiness, and lots of love and wealth.
Thank you. We'll take that. And to all the wonderful listeners out there, we will talk to you next week.
You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.